New research from Edith Cowan University has delved into the topic of youth burglaries and the reasons behind them. With burglary being the most common offence young people are charged with in the Children's Court of Western Australia, the team spoke with 50 people aged between 11 to 17 and found that a fifth of young people only stole for food. To tell us more about the study and findings, we're joined by Dr. Natalie Gately, co-author of the report. Thank you so much for joining me on the record this morning.
Oh, thank you, Fiona. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us about the research. How did it come about?
It came about through trying to understand why kids commit crime. What is it that they're doing? And given that burglary was at the time kind of one of the highest crimes they committed, the idea was to find out what is it they're doing and why are they doing it, and obviously an attempt to prevent it in the future.
And in the past year, we actually have seen that WA's number of victims of burglary has risen 10% from the 2020 statistics. What can we learn from the WA increase being bigger than the national figure?
There's a couple of things at play, I think, here. One is that the year before we were in COVID, so we were all at home. And one thing we learnt from the kids was they come and knock on the door, and if anyone's home, they run away. So the fact that most of us were home means that we had lower figures increase from the year before. That's sort of one explanation. The other explanation, of course, in terms of Perth, is we weren't in lockdown for very long. So in consideration for some of the other states where they were in lockdown for months and months and months, in WA we were all back to sort of normal quite quickly. And we also have the largest policing jurisdiction in the world in Western Australia. You know, our policing goes right from down south right to, you know, obviously the very top of end of Australia. So there's a lot of policing districts out there. There's also lots of areas where there's no resources. There's very little for young people to do. And we tend to see more burglaries happening in those type of areas.
So for this research, yourself and the team spoke to 50 Western Australians aged between 11 to 17 who were reported committing at least one offence of burglary. Can you walk us through the research and the kinds of questions that you asked?
Sure. I mean, we first of all asked them whether they had committed burglary recently, whether they've been caught for it or not. So that was how we selected our sample. And then we were talking to them about why they commit burglaries, how they commit them, and, you know, what did they get out of it. So the motivations were sort of around that they saw it as a need, whether it was a need for food. As you mentioned, you know, eight of those kids never stole anything else but food, whether it was for money, whether, you know, some of them were stealing money for need, some of them were stealing money for drugs. Most of them perceived it to be a need. They kept the stuff that they stole as gifts, or gifted it on, or they used it to buy the drugs from their.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how you found one fifth of the young people who you interviewed only really stole for food? That's quite an interesting finding there.
Yes, it's a bit of a worrying finding, really, because what they were explaining was they broke into houses, usually ones that were sort of easy targets, and they would take something out of the fridge for now, and then maybe take something out of their pantry to take home for later, or tinned goods or frozen goods to take home for later. So that really shows that lack of food, they perceived that as a real need, that they weren't just taking it for themselves, but they would also sometimes take it home to the rest of the family. And those children were quite, you know, indignant in telling us that they never stole anything else. They never stole personal property. They never stole jewellery. They never stole money. They only ever took food.
Is this different to previous data on the reasons behind theft?
Well, one of the reasons we did this is there's very little data itself on asking people themselves why they steal. So there's police data and there's different types of victim data that shows what has been stolen, but actually talking to young people themselves about why they stole it was one of the main motivations. So we don't have a lot of data on why they've stolen in the past.
You're listening to On the Record. We're joined by Dr. Natalie Gately from ECU, and we're discussing research into youth burglaries and the reason behind them. So what were some of the other reasons why young people stole, what that you found from your research?
Look, there was that peer pressure. People were going around in groups and stealing from easy to target homes. So open doors, open windows, places where there was no neighbours around, no dogs, no security. And they would go in and take, because they were in these groups. But their ongoing thing was sort of around this idea of need. There was food, there was money, there was drugs, there was toys and goods that they could either keep themselves or gift on to somewhere else. So they're really limited in what they took. If they were taking money and taking jewellery, it was usually for, to pay off a drug debt or to obtain drugs.
So what does that say about our society that one of the findings that you got was that it was perceived more as a need for needs rather than wants?
Look, I think it says that we need to, by the time children are reaching the justice system, they've fallen through the cracks of many other systems. What became evident with these children was they had quite chaotic lives in their backgrounds. They may not have had a biological parent living with them. They had, some had parents in jail. What was an interesting finding is this is how they learnt to burgle was either through their friends or a family member, usually a brother or a cousin or a father. There was a lack of accommodation. These kids were moving around a lot, which then impacted on their schooling. So they weren't going to school. None of these children were regularly attending school, and they were committing their burglaries during the daytime hours. They weren't interested in hurting anyone. They weren't interested in getting caught or being seen. That's not an excuse. It's an explanation. But the socioeconomic factors of that poverty, accommodation, lack of schooling, that the impact of drugs, that stuff all has to see it can come a lot earlier. We need to be intervening a lot earlier than when they get to the justice system.
And we hear things such as poverty cycles, but is there such a thing as a theft cycle with what you were saying that they learn from friends and family and the environment around them?
Well, we do see that intergenerational offending where it's become quite normalised, and that we see that too with not going to school. You know, if it's not expected in the home that you go to school and that you attend school, we do see that intergenerational offending and that intergenerational cycle. So yes, we do see that trend in some families. Not all, but not all of these kids come from disruptive families, but many of them did come from very chaotic and dysfunctional lives.
So how is this research useful to the community?
One thing is to avoid being a target. We categorise burglars, adults and children. The theorists categorise them as opportunistics, searchers and planners. And planners are the people who case the joint. They watch, but they purposely pick a place, much more prolific in adult burglars. They watch something, they watch new materials going in, and they know, you know, when to burgle and how to burgle. We didn't see that in these young sample. What we saw were opportunistic, so they've walked past somewhere, they've seen a premise, they didn't actually go out to burgle, but they've seen something that they needed or they wanted or they thought they could use, and they take all those sort of planners. And they planned to go out and burgle, but they hadn't chosen where to, and again they looked for easy targets. So open doors and windows, places where there was very few other people around. There's no neighbours around. It's a place they could get away from quickly.
So you and the co-author, Dr. Suzanne Rock, are actually calling for further research to better understand the reasons for food-only theft. Why do you think this is an important area to research further?
I guess if people are only stealing for food, it says something more about the welfare of these children. And the fact that they are only stealing food and they're stealing food for themselves and their families shows a different type of motivation for stealing. And that is something that could be quite easily fixed. I'd use the word easily, which is the wrong word, but it can be fixed by providing people with food, with better social economic conditions. So that idea that they're stealing for food only says something quite different. Where we're talking about people who are stealing for drugs, then the response has to be different. We need to look more about youth drug courts and how we get children off drugs. And we're talking about kids who've got regular cannabis habits at 11, 12 and 13. So that's a different response to those who are stealing food only and understanding the poverty that these children come from if they're out stealing food.
And from all the findings that you got from your study, it really shows a lot of things that you were saying there's not a lot of research before, but it shows a lot of different reasons why there are these youth burglaries and opens up all these avenues of research to try and help people before they commit a burglary.
Yeah, I mean, we also need to take into account that young people are, in itself, they're impulsive. They've got that lack of consequential thinking. So it teaches us about what other interventions can we put in place? What are the primary educational things we can put in schools? How do we teach children about that? Of course, if they're not going to school, we have a problem because they're not getting that sort of tertiary sort of education to start with. But it does teach us a lot about what we need to do forward to try and prevent this type of crime from happening. Because burglary, obviously, people get their goods taken. And while insurance may or may not replace some of that, if it's sentimental, they can't. If your insurance isn't up to date, you know, you don't get it. So, and there's that psychological fear of somebody actually violating your personal space. Your home is supposed to be your sanctuary and your safe place. So there's a lot of psychological implications of a victim being burgled as well. So the idea of preventing that, that's where we want our research to go.
Finally, you've outlined an area you're calling for more research in, but what's the immediate next step for the study and these findings?
I think that we talk about it in criminology. In terms of crime, we've got to have a motivated offender, a suitable target, and an absence of a legal guardian. So I guess for us, from that point of view, the young people are quite motivated to offend, so we've got to take away that motivation. And if food is the motivation to offend, we need to find a solution for that. In terms of a suitable target, we need to get to homeowners and say, don't make your place a suitable target. These kids were walking away from places that were too difficult to break into. So we're educating along the lines of what can you do to protect yourself from being a victim of burglary? And then there's also that sort of absence of a legal guardian. These children were out on the streets by themselves mostly or with their mates during daylight hours when they should have been at school. So school does serve as a legal guardian. Obviously, you've got your policing as a legal guardian, parents as a legal guardian. We need to make sure that they've, you know, there's a presence of adults and suitable supervisors for children. And these are children, particularly the younger ones from sort of 11 onwards.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Gately, for joining me on The Record this morning and telling us all about your research.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me, Fiona.
You're most welcome. That was Dr. Natalie Gately from Edith Cowan University, co-author of a new study which investigated why young people commit burglaries, what they stole, and how they learnt to burgle.